Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take podcast. My name is Mike Brown. I am coming to you live on Spotify Green Room, and it is my pleasure to be hosting tonight's postgame show. As for the first time this season, the Houston Rockets have won back-to-back games, baby. The Rockets defeat the Charlotte Hornets inside of Toyota Center, 146 to 143. It is a pleasure to be here on the postgame show. The Rockets defeat the Charlotte Hornets tonight after Charlotte coming into Toyota Center with a record of 13-8. The Rockets were 2-16 coming into this game. And that is now back-to-back wins against Eastern Conference playoff teams. We are going to go for as long as the listeners would like for us to go tonight. I am taking any and all callers here on the postgame show, as we are the most interactive postgame podcast in the game for all of Red Nation. Once again, your very happy final tonight. The Rockets defeat the Charlotte Hornets 146 to 143. A lot to unwrap in tonight's postgame show, as I mean, you can't have a lot of things to be upset about tonight. Looking at the box score, you know, Jayshon Tate, 16 points, 5 assists. He was a plus 15 in the game. Christian Wood with his best game of the season, 41 minutes, 13 of 19 from the field, 2 of 3 from the three-point line, kicked in 16 rebounds, so 33 and 16 for him. Eric Gordon with 22-7. Kevin Porter Jr., who has looked like a different man since getting back the last two games, he had 23 tonight. He had 8 rebounds, 12 assists. Garrison Matthews in his first start of the season, 38 minutes, 6 of 10 from the field, 5 of 9 from the three-point line. There was a guy who was tweeting us at the Dream Take who was upset with Garrison Matthews getting 38 minutes tonight. I don't know why. I mean, to be quite honest with everybody, I like Garrison Matthews. I've been on the Garrison Matthews train for listeners of the show all the way, you know, back to the last, what, 4 games since he's been a Rocket, 4 or 5 games. Love what he brings to the team. Big fan of his. Even off the bench tonight, you know, KJ Martin got 15 minutes. He had 7 points, 3 rebounds. Daniel House got 15 minutes. He had 2 points. Alperen Şengün, excuse me, who played some magnificent defense tonight. He had 2 blocks, 5 points, 5 rebounds. DJ Augustine, 3 points. Armani Brooks continues to be Swaggy B, I think could be a potential nickname for Armani Brooks. He had 15 points tonight on 5 threes. He was 5 of 11 from the three-point line. Him getting 11 three-point shots up, I don't really know how I feel about that, but fantastic performances from multiple guys tonight. I thought Jayshon Tate was spectacular. I thought Christian Wood at 33 and 16. Look, people will accuse, you know, a person like myself as being somebody that flip-flops, goes back and forth on some of these guys. And that's because these guys deserve that sort of criticism. You know, all the way up until the past couple games, Armani Brooks has not been good this season. The past couple games, Armani Brooks has been a true weapon off the bench. And you got to look at these last two games and you got to say to yourself, I mean, who is this Rockets team? I mean, they put up 146 points tonight. You know, Ryan brings up a question in the chat that I think bears to be talked about as well. What do the Rockets do with Daniel Theiss? What do the Rockets do with David Nwaba tonight? I mean, you're talking about, you know, Daniel Theiss didn't play and Jalen Green has been out. You know, how much do the Rockets fans look at the past two games without Jalen Green, without Daniel Theiss? Now, Jalen Green has been hurt But with him being out of the rotation and Daniel Tice simply being benched, you know, the last two games, and you look at a team like Chicago, and Jonathan puts in a comment in the chat about how, you know, we save a guy like Daniel Tice for when we play a guy like Jokic or Embiid. Well, we played Chicago with Nikola Vucevic, who is not in the same category as a Jokic or an Embiid, but he's still a big man that can play the game at a very high level. And the Rockets beat the Bulls without playing Daniel Tice. So I'm unclear as to what the Rockets are going to do with a guy like Daniel Tice moving forward. But, you know, it bears to be, you know, discussed. Without Jalen Green, the Rockets have beat not one, but two pretty damn good basketball teams in back-to-back games in the Hornets and the Bulls. And if you're listening here on Spotify Green Room, I'm taking any and all speaker requests for Rockets fans to celebrate the massive win tonight over the Hornets. And you know what? I am calling it a massive win. For a team who was 2-16 coming into this game, every win that this team can get is massive. And it's impressive, you know, what the Rockets have done the past, you know, two games. And I, for one, am excited to watch this team finally realizing some of its own potential. Going to our first speaker request, good friend of the show, Ryan. Ryan, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How's it going, man?
Hey, man. University of Houston won their game today. The Rockets won today. It's all good.
So we need to discuss we didn't have to before, but now that it's coming up again, what's going to go on with John Wall? Do you want him to play or should he continue to sit? What's your, opinion on John Wall right now?
Man. So you beat me to the news, that was put out today by Adrian Wojnarowski. Let me bring up the tweets so I can make sure to get, both tweets correct. Word for word, Houston Rockets guard John Wall has expressed his hopes to the organization that he can resume playing for the team in the near future, sources tell ESPN. There was a follow-up tweet that said Wall and Rockets had agreed on him sitting out until a trade could be found, but the five-time All-Star guard talked to Houston general manager Rafael Stone on Friday about restarting a dialogue and a return to the active roster, sources said. Sides plan to talk again on Sunday. My take on those tweets from Woj, I don't know. This narrative is tired to me, man. Like, look at what the Rockets are doing right now. And I mean, Kevin Porter Jr. seems to be finding his own way without Jalen Green on the court at the point guard position. What's up?
Can I give my thoughts on it real fast?
Sure.
You know, I think, and I've been saying this since the beginning of the season, that if he were to have played up until now, he probably would have been traded by now. So I'm saying you play him. And then the sooner he plays, the more he plays, the faster he's gone. That's the best way I can look at it.
I think him playing at this point only stunts KPJ's growth at the point guard position. Now, there's an interesting prospect of what you're bringing up, which is you play John Wall and you move KPJ to the two, which he might be more suited to play, and you bring Jalen off the bench, or you're starting Jalen at the three and you move Tate to the bench. I don't know what that looks like. All I know is that the Rockets are on a two-game winning streak for the first time in what feels like forever. And I think doing anything that disrupts that is a scary notion to me. But all I know is that there's no trade out there for John Wall. No one wants John Wall at the current contract situation that he has. And there's rumors flying around that, you know, if he was willing to waive his, you know, second year on his contract that there would be more teams, you know, ready and willing to trade for him. If that's true, great. At this point, I want John Wall off the roster, and I don't really care how the Rockets need to do it, but that's where I'm at with the John Wall situation. It's tired. The Rockets could not have handled this situation any worse. I think John Wall couldn't have handled this situation any worse. Both camps are at fault. They need to figure out a way to get him off the roster as soon as possible.
How many wins would this team have if John Wall had been playing this whole time, you think?
I don't know. I don't like getting into semantic situation, you know, conversations like that, because I don't know.
I hear you.
You know, like there's so many varying factors when you look at a question like that, because, you know, John Wall playing impacts so many different spots on the court and so many things throughout a game that, you know, whether it's myself or Jeremy and I disagree on the whole John Wall situation, which is fine. You know, I think it makes for a fun conversation that I want him playing. Like, I either want him in or I want him out. I don't want him half in or half out. The Rockets are in a tough enough spot with a guy like Tice now that it's the same thing with John Wall. It's the same situation. You've got a guy that is unplayable for the way you want to play currently. What do you do with him? I don't think you should trade Tice. I think you should trade John Wall.
Yeah, and Josh Christopher is down in the G League killing it right now. So,
and good for him, man. Like, that's all good. I love what Josh Christopher's doing. I love what Usman Garuba's doing. My question is, excuse me, the last two games, what has changed for the Rockets? And I point to two very glaring changes that have happened, and that's no Jalen Green and that's no Daniel Tice.
Well, after what I saw from Paolo Pangaro last night, I want him on this team next year. I don't even give a shit who else I want. I'm locked in on him. I know it's early to say that, but you get 20 points in the first half and you're bullying the other guy that's rumored to be number one. Yeah, you go for Paolo no matter what. And then,
well, you're also talking about a guy that couldn't make it through the entire game because he kept cramping up in the second half. I think it's still too early to talk about Holmgren versus Banchero. But that's me. Like, do I think Banchero is a stud? Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I also think that he reeks of a guy like Carlos Boozer.
Carlos Boozer. Huh? Interesting.
I think Carlos Boozer is a great player in the NBA. He wasn't a superstar. You know, I think it's way too early to be talking draft. And I want to continue to focus on the Rockets' two-game winning streak. You know what I mean? Like, it's awesome.
They were making everything tonight. They looked like a very good team tonight. But
yeah, no, I mean, you talk about, you know, 13 turnovers. That's a great number for the Rockets. You talk about you know, the rebounding battle. Rockets had 41 rebounds tonight to the Hornets' 39 rebounds. You know, Christian Wood balled out tonight. I mean, Wood was super duper tonight. So, yeah. Anything to add before I go to the next speaker request, my man?
What was the free throw tonight?
I mean, they sucked again. They were 21 of 31. I mean, it's a tough situation at the free throw line. But everything, I think those types of things are correctable. I really do. I think with time, it will correct itself. But yeah, I mean, 21 of 31 from the free throw line is unacceptable for the Rockets.
And then one last thing is before we do get rid of John Wall, I do want to see a Wall, KPJ, Green, Tate, and Wood line up before they get rid of it, because that'd be a fun one to see how it is before Wall's out.
I don't disagree with you. You know, I think John Wall could actually help this roster a lot, but I don't think it's in the cards, unfortunately. So, Ryan, a pleasure as always, my dude.
Always, man. See you.
All right, bro. See you, man. All right, let's go to our next speaker. AA, welcome to the show. Always a pleasure to have you on. What can I do for you, my man?
Good start, two wins in a row. I think if we're looking to have a trend develop, we'll definitely be able to get a good sense of where this team is going over the next four games. They play OKC twice, Orlando, and then the Pelicans. If they're able to kind of, you know, add four wins, which should be very doable, all sub 500 teams, all at the kind of the bottom of their conferences, that would kind of really be a kind of a heartening kind of a sense of where this team is going and actual progress being made. Last two games, we've kind of controlled our turnovers, which has been really great. Obviously, you discussed the free throws. And ultimately, with the John Wall situation, timing is everything. If this was in the midst of the 15-game losing streak, I think maybe the Rockets organization might have wilted and kind of brought John Wall back. But I think to bring John Wall back at this point would just show organizational weakness. They've made their choice. Let's just stick with it. And I'm kind of all right with just letting, you know, they're not going to find a trading partner for him. Let's keep him on the roster. You know, I'm sure there'll be one or two or, you know, a handful of teams that will want his $47 million expiring contract next year. If not, just let it expire. You know, use that extra cap space next year. On the kind of Paolo versus Chet front, I kind of differ a little bit. Paolo looked like Carmelo Anthony at Syracuse to me yesterday. Like he was more agile, quicker, you know, pulling up from three and still showing a lot of strength finishing through Chet on a number of plays. I take your point about cramping up and so on, but when he was out there, he was a game changer. He was the best player on the court. For Chet, I don't know, he didn't seem like the best player on Gonzaga, you know, for me. Obviously it's young and kind of, you know, the season's young and there's a lot of development, but a lot of good progress for the Rockets. And I think, you know, hopefully Jalen Green can come back in a week or two and kind of fit in with the Rockets. But it's been good to see a little bit of movement on Silas's coaching and kind of the rotations and kind of seeing where things go. Ultimately, that may be a negative for Şengün and his minutes. But I think we've definitely found something in playing one big on the court at all times. And hopefully, you know, there's still some kind of playing time for Şengün.
Let me ask you a question. So, a lot of good points there. Yeah, if Paolo turned into Carmelo Anthony, which I don't know if I agree with that comparison, would you be happy as a Rockets fan or disappointed with that?
I'd be ecstatic. Obviously, you know, Carmelo kind of went off the rails a little bit in terms of just maybe kind of feeling himself and not being willing to develop his game further, being pretty one-dimensional for most of his career in New York and Denver. But obviously that can be mitigated with player development, coaching, kind of organizational kind of leadership. But from what I saw, you know, he looked pretty damn good out there.
See, that's my point though. You hit the nail right on the head, because a guy like Carmelo Anthony has never been a part of a team that, I'm trying to think, I don't think he's ever been a part of a roster that has gone to a conference finals. And it's because his skill set does not translate well. Is he a great scorer? Yeah, he's a phenomenal scorer. But what else does he do to impact games? I mean, honestly, like he's a great player. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, which the NBA Hall of Fame is a joke because basically everybody gets into it. Like, if you tell me that the Rockets draft a Carmelo Anthony 2.0, I'm disappointed by that.
Well, I would say he has the skill set of Carmelo Anthony. I don't necessarily know that he has to that has to come with kind of the mental makeup and composition of a Carmelo Anthony. But I think Carmelo's standout year was kind of his, his final last year with Denver, I believe, when they went to the Western Conference Finals against the Lakers. And but ultimately, like, that team was different for the Nuggets because he had a lot of strong leadership around, and he wasn't necessarily the leader of that team. Sure. And so, but if you're expecting, Carmelo Anthony to be your leader and to kind of be vocal and lead by example, that's not going to happen. And I think it's too early to kind of say, Paolo Banchero is, this player or that player, but ultimately in these drafts, sometimes you have to rely on the talent, and I don't see a more talented player out there right now. It's early,
It bears mentioning that you are right. He has been to one conference finals when he was in Denver. A guy like Carmelo, 6'7", Banchero, 6'10". I think Banchero fits in really well with what the Rockets need, which is a bruiser at the power forward position. He's a guy that can dominate on the glass. He can go get a bucket. I think he would fit really, really well next to Christian Wood. And I think that's one thing over the past two games, two wins for the Rockets, is the last two games, the Rockets have played directly through Christian Wood, which I think is a winning formula for this team. I think that is without a doubt at this point. When Jalen Green comes back, no matter what, the offense runs through Christian Wood, because Christian Wood has proven that if he gets the matchup that he wants, you can't stop him. And putting Banchero next to a Christian Wood is massive. Like that front line. You give me a front line of Tate, Wood, and Banchero, I'm in. It still is too early. A guy like Chet Holmgren, I like Holmgren. I don't love Chet Holmgren. You know what I mean? Like, watching him last night against Duke, he's a nice player. Nothing to write home about for me yet. He's less than 10 games into his collegiate career, though. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not into the draft talk at this point, though. I mean, you look at this Rockets team right now, and you've got to say to yourself, they've won two games in a row. Silas is coaching for his job at this point. And I love it. I love putting a coach on the hot seat. I have no problem with the hot seat. You know what I mean? Like, I look at this team right now and I say to myself, the Rockets are playing for this dude's job. And I love it. Do you have anything else to add before I go to my next speaker? Hey, I've appreciated our time very much.
Just kind of enjoy the show. I agree with you completely. I think it's always great for Silas to feel the same pressure that his players are feeling. Jalen Green has been under some pressure, right? Based on kind of what Mobley has shown and Barnes in Toronto. So, I think we've seen some positive results from Silas feeling a little bit of the heat. And so hopefully he can continue to not revert back to, Silas 1.0 and kind of remain kind of along the same path. But thanks.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend, my man. I appreciate you joining the show. All right, let's go straight to our next speaker. Good friend of the show, Mike. Mike, welcome to the show, my man. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, man?
Oh, man. University of Houston winning their game today. Rockets winning their game. Life is not terrible.
Wasn't too.
Yeah, man, great game tonight.
Better place great to be, game for tonight. Sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, what are your thoughts on the game tonight?
Yeah, so I guess, like, my question is for you is, how much of this do you think is them catching fire, versus them finding an actual rhythm? Because looking at it, they lead the league in open threes. They lead the league, and they're in the top five in the league in points in the paint, have a ton of possessions in terms of pace, and they just haven't ever been converting in the previous games. And, they had, 17 threes against Chicago, 21-20-something today, which I don't think is necessarily sustainable. So I guess, my question is, how much of this is just, them going getting streaky versus like the the actual plan coming together. That makes sense.
No, it makes sense. I think it bears mentioning that the fact that the Rockets over the past two games have caught fire from three is important to note when you're talking about this team's progression. That Ackerman and Hollins talked about it tonight, that Charlotte and Houston are 1-2 in the league in pace. The Rockets lead the league in free throw attempts. The Rockets are playing at the NBA level. They're playing amongst the best teams in the league in certain categories. The shots just weren't falling. The last two games, shots are falling.
Right.
It's this game is not difficult. I think the Rockets over the first, how many games were 19 games into the year. The Rockets have been notorious for making this game a lot more difficult than it needs to be. Identify your best players, play through them. Christian Wood is your best player on this roster. Aaron Gordon is one of your best players on this roster. Free throw or field goal attempts tonight. Kevin Porter Jr., Christian Wood, and Aaron Gordon shot the three most shots on your roster tonight. Those are your three best players on the court. That's great. Garrison Matthews has been, he's a stud, man. Like, this kid can ball. I'm telling you, anybody who looks at this team and says Garrison Matthews cannot play the game, no, the dude can play. He's exactly what this team needed. He's a shot in the 100%. Arm. Do I like him? Do I like him in the starting lineup permanently? No, but he's an interesting guy in the starting lineup. No. And
he gives you valuable minutes for sure. And he has his open shots, which is like what you ask for in a little bit of a veteran, right?
Yeah. And he takes charges.
Totally.
He tries. And the thing that we've talked about this entire season is, again, I don't hate losing games. I don't like it, but I don't hate losing games if you're doing it for the right reasons. And losing games while developing your talent is the most important thing. And the Rockets are developing their talent. Like, you're playing Garrison Matthews 38 minutes. You're playing Kevin Porter Jr. 42 minutes. Now, Eric Gordon playing 37 minutes does nothing for a guy like KPJ or for KJ Martin Jr. Eric Gordon will not be on this roster beyond the NBA trade deadline.
Right.
But
I think the other thing too that you have to like think about with this. Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, what I was saying was the other thing about this team is that they're finally starting to like settle into their strengths, right? Like, I think a couple podcasts ago, you and I talked about just like, you know, Christian Wood wanting to be, you know, a different player than what he actually is, as opposed to, you know, playing the pick and roll, especially against a team that has zero sort of like post presence in Charlotte. And it's like when you watch them, like it just opens up so much. And then, you know, especially for some of their outside shooters hitting those open threes, I mean, it makes, as you say, it makes the game look a lot easier. You know, especially with Oklahoma City on Monday. I mean, there's no reason why they couldn't keep that going. You know, again, good things to see. You just want to see these guys like actually like make improvements. But you know, I don't, you can't expect them to have like this type of 3-point shooting throughout the year.
No, I don't think you can. I don't think you can expect it, but I think even if what they're doing right now is they're not regressing to the mean. They're playing back to the mean. Like, this team is not as bad as they have played through 19 games of the season. You've seen that the last two nights. Sure. Like, you've seen that the last two games. Now, people will say, well, Charlotte played last night. The Rockets haven't played since Wednesday. Okay, well, no one was giving the Rockets the benefit of that doubt when they were on a four-game West Coast trip, when you're playing the overrated Lakers, when you're playing the Suns, you were playing Golden State, who's the number one, you know, team in the league. Like
Denver,
the Rockets weren't getting that benefit. So it's like, okay, if you're Charlotte, you're playing the games that are on your schedule. If you're the Rockets, I'm not apologizing for the last two games. And, you know, AA were in, you know, the guy who was on the show before you, he and I were talking about the same thing, that Silas feeling the pressure of the hot seat, I that doesn't bother me at all. I'm okay with it. I'm happy about it. because he's now making the necessary adjustments. What I'm fascinated by is what is going to happen when Jalen Green comes back, because it's worth noting that Kevin Porter Jr., this is the best that he's looked this entire season, and it is not a coincidence that it's because Jalen Green is not on the court. You can't convince me otherwise. Because Kevin Porter Jr. now knows he is the guy. He doesn't feel any pressure, feeling like he has to get dudes involved. He can play his game. I don't know what that means for Jalen Green.
Yeah, I don't know. I think for guys like Jalen, especially this year, and especially during the games where they're just getting absolutely shellacked. I mean, I think a lot of their like woes have become from players like Jalen, like Kevin Porter Jr., like Christian Wood, sort of trying to play outside of their means because they're trying to make something happen because their team's down by 25. Sure. And that just has made their, you know, I think dented their confidence for game after game after game. And so I don't know. I think Jalen is going to be just fine. And again, like the better that Kevin Porter Jr. plays in those situations, the more open shots and the more assists he's going to get with Jalen Green. So I don't necessarily think that it's at much of a coincidence. I have more of a weight to put into the fact that they've stopped having these two big lineups, which has opened up the spacing tremendously. Yep. And again, it's not a coincidence that Daniel Tice has also not been playing the last couple of games as well.
Yeah, I think you make a great point. We haven't touched on that tonight at all. You can't play two bigs with this roster. It just doesn't work.
No.
Now, we can get into the offseason. You know, what does a guy like Banchero do with a guy like Şengün?
Totally.
I think
personnel.
Yeah, I think the Rockets have to identify the fact that Christian Wood only has one more year on his contract. That's a conversation to have in the offseason of, is Christian Wood a piece that you look at as a building block for the future?
I think it depends on what he adds to his game throughout this year, right? If he really settles, like if he plays like he did tonight, right, and really settles into his role, like he took only three threes and just played at the rim and was phenomenal, right, and was grabbing boards. Like, again, like that's where he's most effective. If he tries to spot up and take people off the dribble, it's not his strength. And so, again, like it comes down to like if he really, really settles into his identity, like other, like, you know, bigs have, and really finds his groove, I think he is a guy that you continue to invest in. But again, it has to see like the progress, because
would you sign him to a contract extension at the end of the year?
I think a couple of factors there. I think you'd have to think about, one, is it a max deal? Number two, do they like update the cap? Because I think that plays a role as well.
Well, the reason why I'm asking you is because let's assume they move Wall, they move Gordon before the end of the year. No one on this roster is making any real money by NBA standards. There's not one guy.
Yeah.
So if you want to sign him to a max deal, you can sign him to a max deal. This is a guy that this season is averaging, 15.5 and 11 rebounds a game. I don't think you sign him to a max extension. I think he's in the conversation of a John Collins-esque type of deal, which I think he got like 5 years, $125 million. So
I agree. I think you want him to be a part of this team 3 years from now, at the very minimum, right? When this team sort of kind of comes into their own and, you know, some of these younger guys really find themselves. Because if you pay him a huge contract, you're then sort of setting the bar of what like the guys like Jalen and Kevin Porter Jr. are going to get in those years if they do sort of like progress the way that we hope. So,
but that's the thing, is that if you do that, you've got to look, you know, the ramifications of down the line. Are you really going to draft, if you sign him to a long-term contract, are you really wanting to draft Banchero or Holmgren when you've got Şengün in the wings? Because then that gives you three bigs, which I'm not against.
Right.
But you got to look at that, and it's a conversation to have.
Again, as I said, if he settles into and really works on playing as the modern, like with the modern NBA bigs, and really works on his pick and roll, and, you know, continues to hit, you know, threes at a 37%, you know, or better, I think you got to like consider it.
I mean, I think you Christian Wood has done nothing to deter me from wanting to make him a part of this roster for the next 5 to 10 years. He's a great player. I mean, he really is. And I think the one big thing with him is his skill set is so vital to today's NBA that anybody that wants to have an honest conversation about college guys at this point, comparing them to a guy like Christian Wood, you can miss me on that conversation because it's not a conversation to have. You can't compare a guy like Banchero or Holmgren to Christian Wood because Christian Wood is playing at a 15 and 11 clip against NBA talent and college guys haven't even played 10 games yet.
Right. It's not like, I agree. I mean, I think, as I said, like it comes down to how he fits in with his team as he progresses and does he continue to improve? And I think,
right.
Last year, we saw this tremendous improvement and obviously got riddled by injuries. This year, the start of the year was a little concerning just how he regressed. But if he plays like he has the last couple of games, like I don't see why they wouldn't continue to invest in him. Clearly he wants to be here. He's said it so many times.
Like, well, that's you know, vital, man. Like.
Yeah,
it's vital. And I think – and look, I'm the fan that I like the draft – but I don't love the draft. And you saw the reason why over the past two games. And I love Jalen Green. I think he's going to be a superstar at this level. But you've won the last two games. I'll give you a perfect example, right? This team is 2-0 in the last two games. Şengün has been – he's given you good minutes, but he's not the reason you've won the last two games. You've won the last two games because of guys like Eric Gordon, because of guys like Christian Wood, because of Kevin Porter Jr. Those are not draft picks. Those are legitimate NBA players. Not that Jalen Green is not, but he's a rookie.
Yeah. They got to start somewhere, right? Like Eric Gordon.
You've got to start somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Eric Gordon and Christian Wood were not those guys in their rookie years, right? So
absolutely.
Right.
But you also have to assess the situation and you have to say to yourself, you win in this league not with rookies. Like, I like LaMelo Ball. I like LaMelo and I like Lonzo, but they've never done anything of significance in this league. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Anthony Edwards. Yeah. Anthony Edwards, nice player. Minnesota sucks. You know, like, you look at a team like Golden State. Golden State's doing what they're doing right now, not because of a guy like Kuminga, but because of their established talent. You know, like they're veterans.
Which they drafted, though.
They drafted.
Which they drafted those guys, right? And invested and
spent
time and built them up. So, again, it's not like we can't be that model. We're that team. We're that team that is not going to be – doesn't have superstars, is not going to be winning a ton of games and going to the playoffs. Now is the time to have as many rookies as you can to get those minutes under their belt. So a year from now, 2 years from now, they're past that. And you're ripe with talent that is not costing you an arm and a leg.
Right. They also, but also Golden State jump-started that team. Now, they won one of their titles before Durant got there and ruined the league in the weakest move in the history of professional sports.
Sure.
But they also, signed a guy like Andre Iguodala. They traded for Andrew Wiggins, who's balling this year. Like, the Rockets, I think, have that young talent. Now is the time, I feel like. What can they get for a guy like an Eric Gordon? Can Raphael Stone and company find their James Harden, a guy that is under the radar, superstar type of guy?
Sure.
You know, I look at a guy like a Buddy Hield. You know, if the Rockets could acquire Buddy Hield, I would look at that trade. It depends on what you can get for him or what you would have to give up for him. I don't think Buddy Hield is on the level of a James Harden. But I feel like they have to look at a guy who's being underutilized by his current team. Can they unlock that type of talent? Christian Wood came here and did it. I mean, Christian Wood has turned into a fringe all-star since getting to town. Can they trade their veteran guys to find a guy like that? That remains to be seen.
Buddy Hill just gives me too much Kevin Martin vibes.
I mean,
it's gives me PTSD from like 2010.
I mean, you look at a guy like Buddy. What is Buddy Hield doing this year? Buddy Hield is averaging 17 and a half points.
17 points.
You know, 17 points. He's averaging 4.5 rebounds, you know, in 29 minutes. You know, I look at a guy like him. I mean, Harrison Barnes. Is Harrison Barnes a guy that this team looks at? You look at the last two nights. It's only two games. I totally understand that. I get that. But I think the Rockets have shown they're not as bad as their record indicates. They're really not.
I don't disagree. No, of course not. We knew they were under, like, they were doing a lot of the things. And that's kind of why I always felt like Silas was kind of getting the short end of the stick, because, like, his teams were getting, like, the high percentage shots, open looks at three, more points in the paint, free throws. They just weren't converting. And then you also factor in that he was not brought into this team to develop, like, to be a player development coach. He was brought in to take, you know, Russell Westbrook and James Harden. He was never that, like, some coaches you bring in, they're the player development guys, and other guys are the guys that take you to championships. Like, we don't know what Silas is, but he was never brought in to be a rebuild coach. At least not to this extent.
I think they brought him in with an understanding that when they signed him, yes, they had a roster that was veteran laden, but they also brought him in with the understanding that there was a high likelihood that they were getting rid of James Harden fairly quickly. Because you don't bring in a guy like a Steven Silas, who's never been a head coach before, with the thought that there's not going to be a rebuild coming sooner rather than later.
Maybe not to this level, though. Not to this level you have this much. I feel like they thought that if they were to trade James Harden, they were going to find, like, a young player to build around. And
well, that's on the front office. Right. It's widely regarded the Rockets won that trade, which is stupid. Asinine. It's an asinine take to think that the Rockets won the James Harden trade. It's pure stupidity.
Remains to be seen. Because if you want the guys you're talking about, like the Buddy Hields, it's not going to be the players as much as it's those draft picks that are going to get those deals done.
The problem is, now you ask me, would I trade Eric Gordon for Buddy Hield? I'd do that deal in 5 seconds. Because
yeah, but Sacramento wouldn't do that deal. We'd have to throw in those picks.
I mean, I would throw in a pick. I wouldn't do multiple picks, but I would throw in a pick for a guy like Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield is a stud. And Eric Gordon doesn't fit the timeline of this rebuild. Buddy Hield does. But I think the problem is when you trade a guy like James Harden, you're giving up a top 10 NBA talent for a bunch of draft picks that you hope turns into a top 10 NBA talent. And I'm not willing to make that bet. I'm just not. Like, you're betting against the house, and the house wins 9.5 times out of 10. You know, like, you're betting on a guy like Jalen Green turning into James Harden. Well, why are you trading James Harden when you already have a James Harden? You know, that's my point. Yeah, is you're giving up your talent in hopes to find that talent in the draft? Like, I don't get
it. I know it might not seem like it just because we're 3-16, but it could have been a lot worse. We could have been in a much worse position. I think, frankly, I really...
Well, you're still the worst team in the league.
Totally. But I'm just saying, but, you know, I think this team is not as bad as the record, which we've talked about. So, well...
I totally agree. So, you know, but I'm just saying, it's still a situation where the Rockets have a lot of problems. You know, we're staying positive now because they're on a two-game winning streak, which is fantastic. But they're still the worst team in the league. They still are dealing with the John Wall situation, which I don't know how to fix it. I think playing him is probably the best course of action at this point, because that's the only way you can move him.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, this is on the front office. The John Wall situation is 100% on the front office, because they gave in to a guy like John Wall who there shouldn't be an understanding of, well, you're not going to, you know, we both agree for you not to play. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
You either pay the man to play, or he plays somewhere else.
That's exactly. One of the two. It's like, right. And that's the thing, is that I think that the front office, my take on this situation, and you give me yours. I think that the front office went to John Wall and said, hey, I think, you know, we've got a trade market for you. We have some feelers out. Go ahead and sit out. We're going to trade you within the next couple weeks. You're going to be playing for a contender, no problem at all. That trade fell through, or those trades fell through. And now John Wall is sitting there like, what the hell's going on? You know, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And the Rockets are, you know, now scrambling, saying, you know, they don't have, they fumbled the situation. And you know what? Transparently, this is now not one superstar situation that this current regime has screwed up. And, you know, the first being the James Harden deal, the second being the John Wall situation, that it's a young front office. They're going to make mistakes. The James Harden situation, I think, has the makings of catastrophic, because they're betting on those draft picks working out with Brooklyn, which I don't know if that's a winning bet. The John Wall deal, I don't think it's catastrophic. It just doesn't look good. Like the optics of it aren't
good. No, the optics are not great. And it doesn't look good now that they've kind of flip-flopped back. And I think that's more panic than anything in the last, like, since the winning streak. And now, or since the losing streak. And since they've gotten won two games, now they're like, oh, well, I think we don't necessarily need him anymore. And then we probably go on another five-game skid. And then suddenly you hear this, like, drum up again. I think for me, and I think you and Jeremy talked about this ages ago, just I want to be, and I agree with Jeremy in the point of, I really want to be rid of this contract. Like, I want to be, I don't, every year, I think, whether it was Chris Paul's contract, then it was Russell Wilson's, Russell Westbrook's contract, and now John Wall's contract, where we have statistically the most overpaid player in the league for what we're getting, right? And I'm just ready for that saga to be over in some form or fashion. And it's not going to be a buyout. He's likely just going to sit on that bench because no one's going to want to trade for him.
Well, and I think part of the problem is, you know, per the report that came out, John Wall was unhappy about the playing time that he was going to be getting, you know, right around 20 minutes a game. Why the hell is that up to him? You know? Like, what is this? What has this guy ever done in the league to deserve that sort of respect?
Yeah, he's. I get it. He's like, look, these are proud guys, and he was a star at one point. He's not anymore, but he was. And well, you know what I mean. And he's like, to that team, he is one of the most talented players. And so, you know, in his eyes, you know, he's playing, he's practicing with these guys and torching them. In practice. And so in his eyes, he's probably like, I should be playing. If I'm going to play, I should play starters minutes. And I understand that to some extent. If they're going to pay him $47 million, play him. Or don't play him.
And that's the thing. But, okay, so congrats. You're a practice superstar. You know, like that does nothing for me. Your feelings don't matter to me in the world of professional sports. They matter more now to the general public view than they ever have before, but they shouldn't. The way a guy feels about a certain situation does nothing for me. The only thing that matters to me as a fan is the win-loss column. That's it. Mm. You know, like, how in the world are the Rockets disrespecting John Wall by being honest with them, saying, we want to go with our young guys. You're going to play 20 minutes tonight. Get over it. Like, grow up, John Wall. And that's the thing. If you're a guy with legitimate pelts on the wall, I'm more open to listening to your take on a situation, but you have no pelts on the wall, John Wall. You're a nice player. You know, you're and it goes back to what I was talking about with the previous caller. It goes back to Carmelo Anthony. If you tell me the Rockets are drafting Carmelo Anthony with the first overall pick, that doesn't make me happy. Because Carmelo Anthony has done nothing of significance in the league. There totally. It is. You know, and so the same with John Wall, the same with Russell Westbrook. Are those guys nice players? Yes. Do they change the direction of a franchise? Absolutely not. They've been in the league long enough. If they did, they would have proved it by now. So not playing John Wall or not, you know, listening to John Wall and having any sort of input on a current situation is the wrong move for the Rockets.
Yeah.
I mean, like, shut your mouth and go play the game. You're going to play 10 minutes tonight. You're going to play 30 minutes tonight. Who cares?
It's much better than him just sitting on a bench and not doing much. So I agree. Either right. he plays, gets paid to play a minute or 35 minutes, or he doesn't play at all for somebody, or he plays for somebody else.
And that's the thing, is that they need him to be a soldier in the Army. He's not. Yeah. We don't need you to be a general in the Army. And that's why, as a fan, I appreciate guys like Garrison Matthews, like Jayshon Tate, like Kevin Porter Jr. Like, these guys just play the game. You know, they do whatever the coaching staff asks them to do. If you're Garrison Matthews, you were doing nothing 3 weeks ago. Now you're getting 38 minutes in a game, and you're I would call Garrison Matthews a vital part of this rotation at this point. You need a guy like Garrison Matthews, a guy who can shoot the three ball at a high level. And the thing is, like, would I play John Wall at this point? I think you don't have a choice but to play John Wall at this point. And that's where leadership comes in with a guy like Silas and a guy like Tillman Fertitta. Honestly, the John Wall situation is on two guys, in my eyes. It's on Tillman Fertitta and it's on John Wall. They've got to figure this thing out. Either trade him, buy him out, or play him. Those are the only three options. There's no therapy at this point for the situation, in my eyes.
I couldn't agree more.
So, any last thoughts before we wrap the show up, Mike?
Nah, man. Just hopefully we keep the streak going against OKC on Monday.
Love it. Thanks for joining the show, as always. Take care. Dude.
Always.
All right, brother. All right. So that will do it for tonight's episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shake, The Dream Take podcast, recapping tonight's very happy final, 146-143. The Rockets beat the Charlotte Hornets in overtime inside of Toyota Center. We will be back Monday night with another episode of The Dream Take podcast. The Rockets played the Oklahoma City Thunder inside of Toyota Center Monday night at 7 o'clock. We will be back here on Spotify Green Room as soon as the game is over. Make sure to follow The Dream Shake on Twitter at Dream Shake SBN. You can follow The Dream Shake on Facebook as well, at The Dream Shake. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at BSW Podcast _MB. You can follow my co-pilots, Jeremy Brenner at Jeremy Brenner, and Raymond Lucas Jr. at Raymond Lucas Jr. on Twitter. Once again, your very happy final. Rockets 146-143 over the Charlotte Hornets to win their second game in a row and their first winning streak of the season. My name is Mike Brown. It's been a pleasure being with you all here on Spotify Green Room. Until next time, Rockets fans, go Rockets!